Now it happened that he was praying alone, and the disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do the people say I am?" In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We have just read the great signature act of God. The disciples say, "Well, there's nowhere to go to get food. We are in a lonely place. Send the people away that they may go to places where humans inhabit the earth so that they may buy food." Otherwise known as a wilderness. There is no one around. Jesus said to them, "You give them food." Which is a statement asserting his power. You know, may I tell you a humble anecdote? When I was a young teacher just beginning, I would take the fruits of many hours of study and share them with my students. And you know what their response was? "So what? Oh, does that mean I gotta write it down?" I realized very quickly that I was no teacher at all. I was simply somebody up in front of a room talking. And I said, "Here is the problem." I would state the problem. "How do you solve a problem like this?" My hand might go up and say, well, "I thought about that. But you see, three more moves down the road, you'll find out that it's a dead end." Another hand would go up. Pretty soon, the whole room was involved in problem solving, and nobody had the answer. And when I gave them the fruits of many hours of study and thinking, they received them as if they were gold coins. And they all wrote them down, and probably did not forget them. Jesus says, "You do this." Everything seems so easy when someone else does it. It can be done. This is not the normal Jesus we know. This is God acting in his power, feeding his people manna in the wilderness. Well, there were only 5,000, you might say. Oh, really? Well, look out on that crowd of 5,000 men with their beards, and you will find their wives. This is family culture. Jewish men married. If you did not marry, there is something wrong. We know from St. Paul that all the apostles had their wives with them. You could not even serve at that level of ministry unless you were married, St. Paul writes in another letter. And because the great mitzvah of marriage, usually carried out on Saturdays, was the marriage bed, there was father, there was mother, and there were children. We're talking about between 20 and 30,000 people. Jesus carries out this act that only God can carry out, and which is the signature act of God alone with his people, feeding them manna in the wilderness. They depend entirely on God, and he provides entirely for them, but not so much that they can store away things so that they might become independent. "Thank you, I'll take it from here. I got quite a lot of manna stored up." Because what happens to manna? It's inedible soon after it is served. Complete dependence upon God. That is the essential relationship of God's people with God. And then following this scene immediately, in the Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus is alone. His disciples come upon him, and he says, "Who do the people say that I am? I have signed my name upon the earth today. God. What do the people now say?" We know the rest of the story. They do not recognize him to be God. And he decides that he will now set his face to Jerusalem and carry out his sacrifice, his passion, his precious death, his mighty resurrection, his glorious ascension. The four great acts of the Son of God. Who do the people say that I am? Everything hangs upon this question. I have said many times in our reflections that this is the great question of our lives. Who do you say that he is? But let's look at it another way. One of the great pivotal decisions, actions in history hinged upon the people not recognizing what is right before them and what is attested in the scriptures over and over and over again. I mean, of course, we read these, read these scenes in the Pentateuch, in the Torah, how God fed his people in the wilderness, but we're reminded of it over and over and over again in the Psalms and elsewhere. Did I not take you out of Egypt? Did I not take you into the wilderness to be my peculiar people? Did I not feed you? I mean, this is deeply impressed on every Jewish mind and heart. Who do the people say that I am? If they all on this occasion fall to their knees, press their faces to the ground, and say, "I have lived to be granted the privilege of Moses. I have seen God." And not just his hindquarters, as it says in Exodus, but face to face. Do you see that this would be the culmination of human history? If. What do they say about him? Well, it turns out they demean him. Even the disciples, who are bumptious today in Luke, famously bumptious in Mark, "I perceive someone has touched me." You know the response, "You idiot, you're in a crowd, and you say someone touched you?" It is no different in our own lives. Have you ever gone out with the old friends of somebody who is near to you? People perhaps have been having a couple of drinks. Even the siblings of someone who is near to you. And they decide that they think it's going to be funny if they take your beloved friend down a few pegs. "Oh yeah, well you should have seen her when..." People do this. People take each other down a few pegs. Seems to be a famous sport in small towns I've lived in New England. But isn't it wonderful when you sit with the old friends of someone and say, "She is one of the finest people I've ever known. She is a saint. Her devotion, her commitment, her chastity and modesty in her words and actions, her daily offerings without complaint. She is one of the people I admire most in my life." And then everybody else says, "Oh, well, let me tell you this story. helping you to understand a little bit more of the depth of this person's virtue. Of course, our beloved friend shies away from these things in her humility. This is bringing us closer to St. Paul's injunction today. With humility, think better of others than you do of yourself. Perhaps this is the road that leads us to think better of Jesus than we do of ourselves. How wonderful that we should think more of God than we think of ourselves. And if our opinion should rise slightly, instead of demonizing him, we do as the people at the Mount of the Multiplication of Loaves and Fish began pressing him for favors. What can he do for me? This is the other one of Jesus' experiences. We get it from Peter, we get it from John and James. What can you do for me? What if the answer is nothing? What if our reply is, you are God, I adore you, I love you, I love drawing near to you, for you are goodness. And goodness is all we want. With humility, let us together profess our love of goodness and the good people we know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.